There are times in our lives, scary, unsettling times, when we know that we need help or answers, but we're not sure what kind, or even what the problem or question is. We look and look, tearing apart our lives like we're searching for car keys in our couch, and we come up empty-handed. Then, when we're doing something stupid, like staring at the dog's mismatched paws, we stumble across what we need to find. Or even better, it finds us. It wasn't what we were looking or hoping for, which was usually advice, approval, an advantage, safety, or relief from pain. I was raised to seek or achieve them, but like everyone, I realized at some point that they do not bring lasting peace, relief, or uplift. This does not seem fair after a lifetime spent in their pursuit. Where then do I turn in these increasingly frightening days? Where do I look for answers when I'm afraid or confused or numb? To an elegant Japanese sage? A dream-dancing Sioux grandmother with a tinkling laugh? No. More often than not, the North Star that guides me through the darkness is the Old Testament prophet Micah. He must have looked like a complete stoner or a Game of Thrones extra and smelled like a goat. Yet nearly 3,000 years ago, he spoke the words that often remind me of my path and purpose. What doth God require of thee but to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? Oh, is that all? Justice, mercy, and humility? That's nice. Right off the bat, I can tell you that walk humbly with thy God is not going to happen anytime soon for me or my closest friends. Arrogance are us. My humility can kick your humility's butt. What Micah is talking about is grad school curriculum, while spiritually speaking, I remain in junior high school, superior and cringing at the same time. And to do justice may be a trick, since we all think we do this anyway. We think that if our values aren't the correct ones, we would have other ones, which would then be the correct ones. Otherwise, these words are both plain song and sublime. How can you not love mercy, kindness, compassion, forgiveness? It's like not loving dessert or cheese. If nothing makes people happier than service, especially to the poor, why not tap into the model of the Buddha, Jesus, or wavy gravy, the knowledge that if you do loving things, you'll have loving feelings? Here's how. We're so often rattled by lingering effects of trauma and paralyzing fear. At first glance, they seem inextricable. Trauma, which is stored differently in the brain than memory, seeps out of us as warnings of worse to come. Our self-centered fears whisper at us all day, our fear of exposure, of death, and that we will lose those we love most, that we will lose whatever advantage we hold, whatever meager gains we've made. We live in terror that our butts will show and people will run from us screaming. But let's say we believe that mercy and forgiveness are in fact foundational, innate, what we are grown from and can build on. Also, that they are hard to access because of these traumas and fears. What if we know that forgiveness and mercy are what heal and restore and define us, that they actually are the fragrance that the rose leaves on the heel that crushes it? So why today is it absolutely all I can do to extend mercy to myself for wanting to nip an annoying relative's heels like a river rat? Forget extending mercy to this relative who has so messed with me and my son. She doesn't even know she needs my mercy. She thinks she is fierce and superior, while I believe she secretly ate her first child. Horribly, she is perfectly fine. I'm the one who needs mercy. My mercy. The need for this, for my own motley mercy, underpinned most of my lifelong agitation, my separation from life and self.